All right, welcome back, race fans, to the Race Nuts podcast. Today we are covering the rise of Matt Payne. G'day, Dan. How are you, first of all?
I'm much better now that I've lost the cold that you gave me in Tasmania.
Has it gave you that cold, mate? Don't go out, come out here talking mad.
Bullshit. You were on that plane sniffling, coughing, and then we went to a giant refrigerator of land, and I got sick.
Still doesn't. But anyway, we digress.
Yeah, so we're here to discuss about the rise of Matty Payne, who's someone that really just came out of the blue a few years ago. So a bit of information, Matthew Allen Payne, just Matt. Matt, as we call him, he is obviously from New Zealand. He was born in Auckland in October 2002. That's 20 years ago, so that sucks, man.
Makes you feel old, mate.
Bro, I'm 4 years older than him, and I've achieved nothing. So I'm not saying anything on his wiki about, I presume he's done karting and stuff, but he really rose to prominence in the Toyota Racing Series. He did a test in 2020, and then got a seat for the 2020-2021 series, also the summer series. Now, this is the tail end of COVID, so not a lot of international drivers like we normally see. This is normally the series that's a bit of a run-in for all the European drivers leading into their full-time season. So, a lot of F2, F3 drivers, including, past winners has included the likes of Lance Stroll.
I was just going to add on to what you're saying. The whole reason that Matty Payne was over here was because I read this very full and delicious Speed Cafe article of who is Matty Payne, because they really filled in the gaps that it was actually quite hard to find. He was actually meant to be carding over in Europe just as COVID was kicking off. And then obviously, he just turned up to the track one day and, the police are there and, they're looking at locking it all down and everything. So he came back to New Zealand, and that's kind of where he had to start to find a drive in Painter Dixon and all that. And that was his first time actually racing in a car, I believe, was Painter Dixon.
I've gone racing. Well, it would have been Toyota Racing Series because he ran Porsche Carrera Cup.
That same year.
Because of the travel restrictions at the tail end of COVID, as I said, didn't have the normal lead in or drivers. A lot of Kiwis, because I was the only ones allowed to go to New Zealand at the time, jumped over. So we're talking Shane Van Gisbergen, Greg Murphy, and Andre Heimgartner jumped over for the actual New Zealand Grand Prix. Over that New Zealand Grand Prix round, he would finish third overall amongst all those drivers. I do believe Shane won it. But in the series, he would go on to win five of the remaining six races. He obviously won that title with five race wins overall from nine races, three pole positions, five fastest lap, nine podiums. He then came to Australia and jumped over to Porsche Carrera Cup and the Super 2 program with Grove Racing.
Yeah.
Which at that point, they were still transferring over from Kelly. So I believe that might have actually been Kelly Grove at that rate.
It might have been. I am wearing the shirt.
Yeah. So he joined Porsche Carrera Cup with Alabama Motorsports from... does that start here? No, it doesn't say starts. Oh, no, it does, yeah. So from his 13 race starts, he held one win, two poles, and three podiums as a rookie.
Yeah.
Finishing that series off sixth with 362 points.
That's nothing crazy, I would say. That's pretty, even as a rookie. Even as a rookie, it's not bad, but six, you don't go.
Sixth race win?
Yeah.
There's pro-ams that have never got a race win in that series.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he jumps, I don't know which point he jumped off. He was very much later in the year when he was getting eyed off for a possible co-drive. He jumped over to the Super 2 program. From his free race starts, so only did two rounds, obviously he had a DNS somewhere.
Yeah.
From his two rounds that he competed in, not much to say, obviously there's only no wins, no podiums, no for that. Yeah. Finished 17th from his free race starts. So that brings us through to 2022. Again, he's back with he's back in the Super 2 program with Grove Racing. This time from his 11 starts, he'll claim 2 wins, 3 pole positions, 6 podiums, and 3rd in the championship overall. He'd also score his first co-drive that year. Am I reading that correct? No, I'm not. Sorry. He did not score a co-drive.
He did not.
Oh, no. Yes, he did. Let's see. I got Supercars Championship. So he did score a co-drive in 2022. That was the year that he drove with Lee Holdsworth and finished 6th.
Yeah.
So he finished 6th with Lee at Bathurst, the one and only enduro, scoring 204 points, 34th in the championship overall. So, look, third in Super 2 already, in really his only 2nd year, or really first proper year, didn't seem like he just pretty much had a big preseason and ran in the Super 2.
Yeah.
He also found time at some point to back with Alabama Motorsports, who he used to race with in Porsche Carrera Cup. Jumped into the 24-hour GT Series. I'm not sure where he raced there, but they finished... they got 5 points, so none too bad. No, I'm really there. And also, with WMJ Motorsports, did some 5 races of the Euro Le Mans series. I believe that would that's a partnership with the Groves as well. That's for that little Porsche. In that, with his teammates, who finished 5th. And also did a couple starts with the GT Australia Challenge Euro Cup, which I believe that would have been a lead-in for these 2 races because they're very similar. Similar categories. That leads us into 2023, which is his first full time drive. He takes over the seat from Lee when Lee departs Grove Racing at the end of the year. As a rookie, from his 28 starts, he will score 1 win, 1 podium. And that was at the LA 500 final race of the year for his main victory. And I believe he came very close to winning that round too.
I believe so too.
And then finally, for the last year, where he... So 23's debut season, he would finish 14th in the standings. And his teammate, it would have been still David Reynolds, I think, at that point. 26, where did 26 end up? So not too bad. 14th from teammate Damien Reynolds, also a lot more experience, who finished 9th. That brings us to last year. Obviously not really much comparison with his teammate last year, Richie Stanaway had a shocker and departed the team not long after. After this season, basically.
Yeah.
But again, I think he had a couple. Let me see. One win in Townsville. I was there. That's when they ran. He seemed to get a reputation for running really well with tires and really keeping that tire life together, because that's how, on that second race in Townsville, him and the team using strategy were able to get in front of Chaz Mostert and Cam Waters, who were fighting for the lead, by simply saving that tire. And then when the pit stops came around, he had just so much more tire life to work with compared to the other two, had to been fighting each other all the time. So yeah, 24 sees him finishing 6th, in the Supercar standing. So that's not too bad considering. It's only 2nd year. He's currently reigning 3rd in the Supercars Championship with 3 races this year already.
Yeah,
3 race wins this year already.
Yeah, running hot.
Yeah, running hot, including winning the Jason Richards Trophy in New Zealand at Taupo this year.
Yeah.
So that was a bit quick rundown of where he's been up to working. Like I said, he just kind of came out of nowhere. Like a lot of these younger drivers, you kind of see him coming. Like you saw Kai Allen coming, who's his current teammate. You saw Brock Feeney coming. You saw Will Brown coming up through the ranks. You saw the buzz that these were going to be the next kind of guys. And Matty Payne, just as you said, only through COVID derailing his European career, just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So looking at Matt Payne as the driver that he is matured to be now and still learning to be, I would say looking for his strengths, as you said, touched on, I think when he gets the tires running right, fucking beautiful, awesome. And he showed us that at Simmons Plains as well. With I'm thinking of rugby.
Same thing again. They boxed early enough that the car could get to the end.
Yeah, and you know, Matty had to run the tires to that. He couldn't just at the exit of the hairpin turn four. He couldn't just light it up every time. He would have had to do a little bit of a coast through the mid corner and really wait for the car to line up before his foot was decently on the pedal. Other than working up the revs throughout the corner.
Yeah, well, that's all part of it. This is something that SVG was very good at as well.
Yeah.
You know, working with the tyre to make it extend, not being too harsh on the corners, being very, as you said, very smooth on the throttle implication.
Yeah.
Where you choose your gears, running gears a little bit longer so you lessen that slip. And especially on a track such as Taupo, which is renowned to be very slippery. Mm. That was a lot of tyre dig there. And I think we'll see the same from the next round, Perth. Another notoriously slippery track.
Yeah.
That saw a lot of dramas.
Yeah, and Perth will always, like, Wanneroo Raceway, as I think we've discussed on the podcast before, a lot of sand blows over the track, fills in all the gaps, and then the tyre doesn't have a gap to go into. The rubber can't find its way in. So it degrades the tyres quickly because they just slide across the But I think, returning to Matty Payne, I think there's... Okay, he weighs 90 kilos, apparently.
Must be nice.
Got a good build on him. He's pretty tall, too. So I'm just saying all these things.
But dude, are we here to talk about him or just rate how fuckable he is?
Both. Yeah, as you said, 5 race wins, 8 podiums out of 37 starts and 3 pole positions. I think that is really good. It's described in a lot of articles that you read and stuff that his rise has been absolutely rapid. As you said, you didn't really see him coming. He just ended up in the right place, right time.
Well, that's how we're talking. Because like I said, he just came out of nowhere. Yeah. And he seems like his race pace has always been great. Like, I'm really struggling to find a weekend in my memory of him racing that he had a horrible one. Like, it's not feeling anywhere. I'm saying like, oh yeah, he's had a bad run here or a bad run there.
Just looking at it, he is third in the championship. I don't think it's too crazy to ask the question, but do you think he will be there at the grand final?
He's a danger. I think he's very likely to be in the top 10 into the finals. He seems like a driver that does well under pressure.
Yeah.
I think he's going to thrive in this environment of do or die. And then you take him to LA. LA was somewhere that last year, as I just, if I bring up the stats again, we're looking, come on, Wiki, don't open my emails. God damn it. If we look at come on, Wiki, slide across, work on me, bud. So we look at 2023's first real year. 23rd in Adelaide for the first race. I think he had a moment. I think he was caught up in an incident. This is 23, sorry. But yet came back the following day and won. And then last year, I think he might have won the round. Don't quote me on that. Let's see. Matt Payne. Last year at Adelaide again.
Yeah.
A fourth in the first race in a 23rd. Now, again, I'm pretty sure in the last race, he was involved in the incident. So there's something about that. He seems to like it there. And he seems to be good at street tracks. We've seen him do really well at Albert Park.
Yes.
Yep. Arguably, he would have had that race win last year if Cam didn't come together. Yep. We've seen him do well in Townsville. That is very Adelaide.
Yep.
Obviously, he's done well in Adelaide. So I think come finals time, if he gets himself in the top four, and it becomes down to the wire, I think he'll do well. I think he's going to be one of the drivers that, like, we already know he does well in those conditions. He does well under pressure. He does well at street circuits, and he does well at Adelaide. So he's generally a real threat.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think a lot of his qualities, as we did say, being able to hold on to the tyre, that will prove itself at street circuits because he'll have tyre under him for traction when he's taking those 90-degree corners, getting close to walls, and that is more important later in the race because he's got that ability. I couldn't find anything about who may be mentoring him, so I've kind of picked up.
I think he's under the wing of Garth Tanner.
Yeah, I was gonna say
they co-drived last year.
Yeah, I was gonna pick up on that exact thing. Is him being with Garth, in the same garage as Garth Tander, even if it is just for these enduro events, or yeah, just the enduro events. Last year we had Sandown and Bathurst. I think being in the same garage as Garth and working with him, I think that's gonna make him so much better.
Garth definitely supported him through Super 2 and his first year in 23.
Yeah.
23 he co-drove with Kevin Istra, but last year Gar swapped from the 26 to the 19 and did co-drive with him at the Bend and Sandown. At the Bend and Bathurst, and I believe it's going to be the same this year. After the success they had,
DNF'd
in the wall, the only safety car.
Yes.
But they were on for a good run, though.
Yes, they were, absolutely.
And only 31 laps to the end.
Yeah, and that's really good.
And the year prior, 11th too, as well, with Kevin Estra.
Yeah.
But I just want to point out something. So I've got some numbers here. This is some of the stat sheets from last year that we still have on the archive. Race pace. So this is for 2024. Race pace, a average finishing position of
9.0.
Yeah, so
that's a nice round number.
Qualifying, a average finishing position of 9.3.
So he makes up a 0.3 of a position on average last year.
Yeah, somehow. I'm just trying to find if I can find my head-to-heads. I'm sort of going back through the archives.
Do you think, just while you're having a look, do you think Penrite Racing, Grove Racing, has built themselves up around Matt Payne at all as well?
Yeah, I think he's definitely a team leader now.
Yep.
Like, especially now you got Kai Allen, a rookie. Like, it was a big statement to bring Matt in, as it was, but then to bring in Kai Allen as another rookie after losing David Reynolds to Team 18.
Yeah.
That's a huge goal, providing confidence in his abilities.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
And I'm just trying to find...
That's right.
Just trying to find this document for you, because this will actually have the stats we really want to hear.
Is it now? Anyway, just going off like the very beginning of Matt Payne, just while Dan's having a look for that, he did start go-karting at the age of 5. And in this article, it's quoted that he was actually having a really good day, his first club meet, I take it, until he was winning until I crashed and rolled. So that was pretty scary. His dad had asked him, what did Matt want to do? Like, did he want to continue? And then Matt had replied, no, I want to keep going. So we actually got really serious about it. So you can kind of see from an early age, Matt could sense that that's what he wanted to do. And shit, if he's winning in his first, let's be generous and say first half a year of club meets, if you're out the front, you're doing pretty damn good.
Yeah. So I'm going to throw some numbers at you. This is in comparison. This is last year, 2024 Repco Supercar season, and we will be. And this is in comparison to his teammate, the much more experienced Richie Stanaway, which was the running Bathurst champion.
Oh yeah. I forgot. 2023 Richie was in
winner.
That garage.
Yep, and he did win. He won Sandown too.
Yeah.
With Waters back in 2017.
Yep.
Anyway, so we're gonna add an asterisk here. Stanaway got two less starts for various reasons. One obviously being the concussion he copped.
Oh, Adelaide.
At Adelaide. Yep. So Matt Payne. So I'll go through Richie's stats first. So from 22 starts, he scored 1,447 points, finishing 19th. Zero podiums. Best finish of 4th. Average finishing position was 12.2. He was in top 10. He had 7 top 10 results. Best qualifying was 2nd. Average qualifying position of 12.7 and was in 6 top 10 shootouts. Now, we're comparing that to Matt Payne, the year he had last year from 24 starts, so two more starts than Richie.
Yep.
He scored 2,019 points, finished the championship in sixth, had four podiums, one win, or best result of first once.
Yep.
Averaging finishing position of 9.0, had 15 top 10 results, so double the amount of results.
Yeah.
Two pole, best qualifying position of pole position twice, average qualifying position 9.3, and participated in 11 top 10 shootouts. So that's already, so as I said, has twice as much top 10 finishing positions than Richie did.
Yeah.
Has had literally twice as much top 10 shootout appearances. Marginally much better scoring across the board. And of course, a win and two podiums.
Yeah.
A win and two poles.
Shit.
And four podiums.
I mean, that's really good for someone who is growing into the super, like, you know. And
13 positions higher on the ladder.
Yeah, that's really good. It's really, that garage and Matt Payne himself, they're really making themselves a force to be reckoned with. Matt Payne's the kind of driver that makes me jump onto the I want more racing this year kind of, and which we've gotten. I want more racing this year because I want to see Matt Payne do his thing kind of. You know, I want more opportunity to see that, more opportunity for him to do his thing. It kind of makes me jump onto that bandwagon of why aren't we doing, you know, in a perfect world without logistics, transport, all this and that. Why aren't we doing 25 races a year? Like, obviously, it'd be bloody hard for Australian domestic series to do that. But it's that kind of driver you get excited about, I feel. And people had him tipped from an early, like, when whose radar he did cross, such as this Simon Chapman from Speed Cafe, when he wrote, who is Matthew Payne. Obviously, he's gotten in contact with him. He's spotted him coming up the woodworks in, this was actually written in October 2021. So he's got in relatively early to his car career.
Yeah, so this is off the back of his Porsche career. And he's Super 2
time. Yeah, and that's even, before he's even touched a supercar. And Simon Chapman was already calling him meet supercar's new hotshot. A lot of people comparing Matt Payne to walking in similar to same footsteps as Shane Van Gisbergen and Scott McLaughlin. I think there's definitely potential there. I don't know if Matt's going to get to just because of how dominant. It's big shoes to fill, is what I'm saying.
I think he's definitely going to be that. You can argue if he would be dominant as those two were.
Yeah.
But to be a force to be reckoned with. Then plus, like I said, Groves is not a team fuck around. This is a team that did bits and pieces. They brought out Kelly Racing, which was they've been there for 20 odd years with the Kelly brothers.
Yeah.
And they were looking spending. They were, they wanted, they threw their hat in for the Ford homologation team. When they didn't get it, went to Triple Eight, they had general conversations with Chevrolet. Yeah. I can guarantee they probably had, I believe also too, they were a general consideration for Toyota for their homologation team. And they're a team that don't follow across parallel lines. There's a team that has spoken out against some of the things they didn't like with Ford. They've spoken against the parity issue. They deliberately dobbed in one of the other four teams at Gold Coast last year. I think it was Chaz for technical infringement. I can't remember what it was, speeding in PLA, something like that. Despite Ford telling all its teams to stop fighting each other and focus on fighting Chevrolet. So this is a team that doesn't care about anyone else. They care about themselves. They care about winning. And then you pair them with a driver like Matt Payne, who's young, he's hungry, seems to handle the pressure he's under really well. Yeah. In his second year, he had Cam Waters rip into him for that crash at Adelaide. Yeah. And that would be hard for the bounce back to have someone like Cam Waters, who
well-established,
out in the States, middle of the sport now, well-established, ripping into you, and then you go into the media pen going, like, he has his opinions, and his opinions are shit. that's not what he actually said. That's the vibe he gave off.
Yeah.
I think he's a general. He's going to be a if he doesn't make the top four, I'd be very surprised. I think he's definitely going to be in finals. It'll just be, can he produce that same level of energy at Gold Coast and Sandown to guarantee him into the top four?
Yeah. I think there's still questions overhanging him. I'm excited to see where he goes with it all. That will be good. I think he's only up from here. I'd find it real hard to believe that he could, like, at right now. I don't even think he's in his prime. I do not think he's in his prime. I think he's still learning the ropes of it all.
Yeah, I think very rolling into it.
Yeah.
And so is that team. I think that team's still getting bits and pieces together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is scary considering how well put together they already are.
Yes. Yeah. 100%.
Right, mate. Well, I think this is what we'll call it for our little discussion about possibly the next champion, Matthew Pate.
All right. Good to talk, mate.
All right. See you, mate.